بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم اما بعد الحمد لله today is the 17th of December in the year 2017 الحمد لله we moved on to the 19th and final session that we're going through the commentary of the glorious Surah Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam. And we've reached verse 104. So inshallah, going to the end of the blessed surah, verse 109. So verse 104. A'udhu billahi min shaitan rajeem. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Say, O mankind, if you are in doubt as to my religion, behold, I worship not what you worship, other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But I worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who will take your souls, i.e. at death. I am commanded to be, i.e. in the ranks of the believers. So here Allah the Almighty glorious, through His beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, He is telling mankind that the deen is one of pure ikhlas. I, that you worship only but I. And I am the one who takes your souls. So he mentions this. I, subhanahu wa ta'ala, am the one who takes your souls. So here there's a few things. In Surah 4, verse 78. Surah Nisa, verse 78. Allah the Almighty and Glorious, He mentions there. The translation. Wherever you are, death will find you out, even if you are in towers built up strong and high. So in this blessed verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He could have said, there's no escape from death. But He puts it in a very graphic way, subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, wherever you are, even if you are in towers built up strong and high, death will find you. Meaning there's no escape from death. And this is why our beloved messenger, he echoed sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that there is a cure for every ailment that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent down, except two, old age and death. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentions this is a proof of His greatness subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not only does He subhanahu wa ta'ala not die, in another passage of the Quran, He does not slumber. Allahu la ilaha illahu al-hayyul qayyum la ta'akhudhuhu sinatu wa la nawm. He does not slumber. And let alone slumber, He does not change. The passage of time does not ravage Him at all, because time is a creation. And this is why in another part of the Quran, in Surah Qaf, Surah 50, verse 19, Allah the Almighty and Glorious, He says, and the stupor of death will bring truth. This was the thing which you was trying to escape. So here there's a report, Hafiz Zahabi in his Sir, Ahmad in his Zuhud, Abu Nu'aym al-Hilya. Ibn Abi Mulaika was asked, how was Abdullah ibn Abbas reciting of the Quran? He replied, one night he read from Surah Qaf, and he recited this verse, i.e. verse 19. وَجَاءَتْ سَقْرَةُ الْمَوْتِ بِالْحَقِّ ذَٰلِكَ مَا كُنْتَ مِنْهُ تَحِيدَ. When he recited this verse, he kept reciting it again and again, and he burst into tears whilst repeating it over and over. So in this holy verse, Allah the Almighty and Glorious, He says, when the pangs of death comes, and then He says, this was what you was trying to escape. So note again, our human beings try to escape death, try to protect themselves from death. Allah Ta'ala goes, there's no escape. And Ibn Abbas, the great cousin of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he wept bitterly over this verse, meaning that death is a reality. And like Hasan al-Basri rahmatullah, they said, it's almost on the verge of denial. People, you know, so infrequently talk about it. And yet in our deen, we are told to mention and talk about this in abundance. So note here, Allah Ta'ala mentions in this holy verse, He takes your souls, i.e. at death. And that's why, like I mentioned, there's a report where our beloved messenger, he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the hadith is in Hakim in his Mustadrak 4-324, Sahih, Zahabi, Sahih. Abu Nu'aym al-Hilyar 3-253, Targhib 2-239, and it's Hassan in As-Sahiha number 881. Our beloved messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam told him that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, O son of Adam, alayhi salatu wasalam, live as you want, for you will certainly die. Love who you want, for you will certainly leave him. So note here, in a hadith Qudsi, Allah the Almighty and Glorious says, live how you wish, you will certainly die. Meaning that he doesn't get involved in the way you live your lives. But he reminds you of the ultimate common denominator, you will all die and you will return to him. And this is why in another report it mentions that a person either returns to his Lord as a runaway slave or somebody who is yearning to meet his beloved. The runaway slave is the one who has gone airborne, but he comes back in chains, back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the one who has been preparing is like a beloved one returning. Then at the end of the holy verse, verse 104, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I am commanded to be in the ranks of the believers. So here is something interesting is worth pointing out. Islam was never a religion of monks and anchorites. It laid great stress on social duties, which in many ways test and train the individual's character. So note, the Prophet didn't come with Judaism and Christianity. He came with a social deen. And note here, Allah tells his beloved, I am commanded to be amongst the believers, meaning I'm not separate. And if you look, for instance, in the greatest surah of the Quran, the dua we make, Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. You alone we worship, and from you alone we seek help. Why don't we say, you alone I worship, and from you alone I seek help? We read Fatiha, we don't even reflect upon it. Why is Allah using the... Because we're a social community. And this is why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned... In fact, we'll come back to that. But there's a few things. For instance, there was an incident, and the report mentions that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was coming back from a campaign. And when he came back from the campaign, an incident occurred. So the hadith is in Imam Ahmad's Musnad, Mishkat and Warul Bayan. Abu Umama radiallahu anhu, he relates, we were once travelling with the Messenger of Allah on a jihad campaign, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when we passed by a cave that had clear water nearby and edible vegetation. Our companion thereupon expressed his desire to spend his life there in isolation to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam thereupon said to him, I was not sent with Judaism or Christianity. Rather, I was sent with a religion which is straight and easy to practice. I swear by the being in whose hands is the life of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one morning or evening in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is better than this entire world and all that it contains. Similarly, your standing in the rows of jihad is better than 60 years of salah. Subhanallah. So here, note, this is an inclination people have. He saw this beautiful scene, he saw a cave, he saw, I can live here. I've got shelter, I've got food, I've got drink. Just worship and wait for death. The Prophet goes, I haven't been sent for a religion like this. Meaning, you don't isolate yourselves. Because I've been sent with an easy religion. Why are you making life hard for yourself? Get married, have children, eat, drink. And then he mentioned jihad. Because what happens to jihad? If everybody had this mindset. And look at the rewards that he mentioned that you will be missing out. And this is why there's a flawless report showing the virtue of jihad. And this hadith actually is the understatement, meaning you don't really understand this virtue. The hadith is in Ibn Asakir, Ibn Adi, and Shaykh Al-Bani rahmatullah alayhi states Sahih, in Sahih Al-Jami number 4305. Abu Huraira radiallahu relates that our beloved messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, standing for an hour in the ranks of the battle waged for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is better than standing in salah for 60 years. Subhanallah. Standing for an hour in the ranks of the battle waged for for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is better than standing in salat for 60 years. Now why is that an understatement? They haven't even started fighting. You're waiting. So imagine you're just waiting, you like, and Amir is straightening the safs out. That's better than 60 years salah. So what about when you actually engage with the enemy? If he was in the cave eating the vegetables, what's happened to these rewards? If he, you know, let's say he lived 60 years and he was doing all those worship for 60 years, you've got it just being a moment in the saf of jihad. So this is all explaining. And this is why knowledge is so important in the deen. If without knowledge, you will, sometimes shaitan deceives you into the less of the better courses. And this is why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that the person, to the nearest meaning, the hadith is authentic in Ahmad. He said, the believer who mixes with the people and bears with their harm is better than the one who doesn't mix with the people and doesn't bear with their harm. How clear is that? People say, oh no, people, they do my nothing. There's the hadith. Harm comes from notice. Right? And the Prophet said, that's better for you. Why? Because you can, you know, you're socializing, you're interacting. And if all the pious went into the caves, what's going to happen to the society? However, there is a place for it, but it was never meant to be a permanent solution. Some of the great scholars would go and then they would come back. They wouldn't go there for good, as some people give you the impression. Verse 105. And further, thus set your face towards religion with true piety, and never in any wise be of the unbelievers. So note, Allah Ta'ala is telling his beloved to say these words. So verse 104, he's told his beloved to say this. Now he's continuing. Tell them this. I am setting my face towards the religion with true piety, and never in any wise I will be amongst the unbelievers. So this is why, if you look at another passage of the Quran, in Surah An'am, Surah 6, verse 161, there's a passage there which beautifully highlights this. There's a report. So this narration is in Imam Ahmad's Musnad, Ibn Majah, Darimi, Mishkat, Abu Dawud, Ibn Ishaq, Ibn Kathir, is Hasan Lighayn. Jabir radiyallahu anhu, he relates. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he sacrificed two rams on the day of Eid. When he laid them down to sacrifice, he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I turn my face to the one who created the heavens and the earth, being true and sincere in faith, submitting myself to him alone. Then the Prophet recited, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, verse 161 of Surah An'am, up to verse 163. So he recited, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وما أنا من المشركين إن صلاتي ونسكي ومحياي ومماتي لله رب العالمين لا شريك له وبذلك أمرت وأنا أول المسلمين. And I will never join gods with Allah. Truly, my salah, my sacrifice, my life and my death are all for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Lord of the worlds. No partner has He. This I am commanded. And I am the first of those who are Muslims. So look how beautiful. In this authentic report, the Prophet sacrificed two rams, one for himself, one for us. And then he recited these verses, showing this is pure tawheed. I'm only doing this for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he changed the verses slightly, which you can detect when you play back the tape. So here note, if you look at this verse, he's clarifying upon verse 105. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and further set your face towards the religion with true piety and never be any wise be of the unbelievers. وَأَنْ أَقِمْ وَجْحَكَ لِلدِّينِ حَنِيفًا وَلَا تَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. So note, everything is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in Sahih Muslim, Allah ta'ala curses those who sacrifices for other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some fruitcakes do this, astaghfirullah. Verse 106. No call on any other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Such will neither profit you nor hurt you. If you do, behold, you shall certainly be amongst those who oppress, i.e. themselves. So again, note, the verses are all about tawheed. The glorious Surah Yunus, alayhi salatu wasalam, is ending with verses of Tawheed. And again, people, they don't. They call upon other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These will fulfill my needs. They're deputized by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Astaghfirullah. Verse 107. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does touch you with hurt, there is none can remove it but He. If He designs some benefit for you, there is none that can keep back His favor. He causes it to reach whomsoever of His servants He pleases. And He is the all-forgiving, the most merciful. Subhanallah. So in this holy verse, Allah the Almighty and Glorious says, if I want some harm to come to you, nobody can stop it or take it away except me. And if I want goodness to come to you, nobody can stop it from reaching you. And it is up to me who I bless with my blessings. But I am the forgiving, the most merciful. So this is beautifully explained in another passage. In Surah 42, verse 30. So in Surah Al-Shura 42, verse 30. There's a report mentioning. The hadith is in Tirmidhi. And Shaykh Al-Bani rahmatullah alayh states Sahih in Sahih Al-Jam. Volume 1, page 118. Our beloved messenger, he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants good for His servant, He hastens His punishment in the world. However, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants evil for His servant, He withholds from him, i.e. the punishment due to his sins, until He recompenses him for it on the day of resurrection. Subhanallah. So in this Sahih hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam showed one of the ways Allah ta'ala deals with His servants. If He wants goodness for you, He punishes you in the world. Now the punishment here refers to purification. But the Prophet used the word punishment. Why? Because people themselves get confused over this. The earthquake came, was it a punishment, was it a purification? The Prophet himself called it a punishment in the hadith, but highlighting His purification. But if He wants evil for His servant, He doesn't take him to task for his sins. He withholds it. And then He will punish him on the day of resurrection. So this is one of the unusual ways that Allah deals with His servants. So where's the goodness? The goodness is when He starts purifying you on the earth. But you don't pray for it. That's one. Secondly, in a hadith in Tirmidhi and Mishkat, Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiyallahu anhu relates that our beloved messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, no injury, either small or great, afflicts a man but for a sin he has committed. However, what Allah Ta'ala forgives is far greater. Then the Prophet recited Surah 42, verse 30. وَمَا أَصَابَكُم مِّن مُّصِيبَةٍ فَبِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ وَيَعْفُو عَن كَثِيرٍ. Whatever misfortune happens to you, it is because of the things your hands have brought, but He forgives much. Subhanallah. So another thing is now mentioned by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And simply put, everything that happens to you, the reason that you trip, you fall, you have an accident, is because of the sins you committed. Allah Ta'ala, the Prophet is telling you that. But that's good. Allah Ta'ala is purifying you. And he mentions, no injury, small or great. So you don't start saying, no. This is, I only broke my nail. That's a small thing. The strap of my sandal, bro. No, it's not. No injury, small or great. Allah Ta'ala says that's because of your sins. But then he says something amazing, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But Allah Ta'ala forgives far greater. Meaning, He forgives many of your sins without taking you to task. Allahu Akbar, think about that. So imagine you got a pie chart of sins. 100% sins. Maybe 10% of the Allah Ta'ala takes you to task. 90% he goes, I've wrote it off. Think about that. So, what's the matter with this one about him? He hasn't got understanding. How can you sin when you know that about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Imagine he's writing it off. The debt. No, so don't worry about it. Forgive it. But then 5%, 10%, whatever small percent, he goes, that bit I'll take it to task. And we're so weak that when we're taken to task for that 2, 5, 10%, we think the whole world's collapsing. Yeah, it should be 10 times worse. So when the tsunamis, the earthquakes come, as a Muslim, you should smile. Allahu Akbar, is what he's smiling for. Disasters happened. Well, there you go. You don't study the Quran. Should be 10 times worse. Then he goes, you're a doomsday merchant. He goes, no, I'm not a doomsday merchant, but you don't know how Allah deals with his servants. Forget about the whole world. Look how Allah has dealt with you. Look at your own life. How many times has little things happened? You should do shukr immediately. Ya Allah, they should be 10 times worse. You get a flat tire, the engine should have blown up. Right? You know, you fall down the second step. I should have fallen from the top of the stairs. Right? I twisted my ankle. I should have broke both my legs. But do we think like that? No, we think. First thing that comes out of our mouth, you start sweating. Effing I'm lying. Brother, what are you doing this stuff? Brother, he says, Bismillah. Bismillah. Right? Last thing, why? Because he's fruitcake. Right? So note here, in verse 107, Allah Ta'ala mentions this key. If he wants any harm to come to you, nobody can stop it. And if he wants goodness to come to you, nobody can stop it. But he gives it to whomever he pleases, meaning the harm. There's a report, the hadith is in Hakim Sahih. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this man, Sahaba radiallahu anhu, he's on his horse and he's heading and he sees a prostitute. So he looks at her, he looks a bit too long, and his camel or horse goes straight into a tree. So he goes to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tells him the whole incident. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah Ta'ala wanted good for you. And he goes, Ya Rasulullah, I was looking at the woman, and how can this be good? He goes, Allah Ta'ala has forgiven you. If you didn't want goodness, you would not have rode the camel into the tree or to the wall. Right? So no, this is again the mercy, the overwhelming compassion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Verse 108. Say, O mankind, now the truth has reached you from your Lord. Those who receive guidance do so for the good of their own souls. Those who stray do so to their own lust. And I am not set over you to arrange your affairs. So here, the penultimate verse of this blessed surah, Allah the Almighty and Glorious, He's now mentioning, you've been given guidance. And the Quran is complete guidance. And then he says, those who receive it, do it for their own good. Those who reject it, do so their own lust. Because then the Prophet is told, I am not a manager over your affairs. I am not your wakil. You know the word wakil. What does wakil mean? You've appointed somebody to look after you. He said, I'm not your wakil. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So here there's a few passages. In Surah 88, verse 21. So in Surah 88, verse 21, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentions there, فَذَكِّرْ إِنَّمَا أَنْتَ مُذَكِّرْ لَسْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ بِمُسَيْطِرْ. Therefore, remind, for you are a warner. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَسْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ بِمُسَيْطِرْ. You are not to manage the affairs. In a hadith in Sahih Bukhari, Sahih Muslim, Nasa'i Tirmidhi, Hasan Sahih Ahmad and Ibn Kathir's tafsir, Jabir radiallahu anhu relates that our beloved Messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I have been commanded that I should fight against people till they declare La ilaha illallah. When they profess it, La ilaha illallah, their blood and their wealth are guaranteed protection on my behalf, except where it is justified by law, and their affair rests with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Holy Prophet then recited these two verses, Surah 88, verse 21 and 22. I have been sent to warn the warned. I am not a manager over your affairs. So no, the Prophet's duty is only to pass the message, to give you guidance, is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is mentioned in quite a few places of the glorious Quran. And this is why in another report in Ibn Jarir Ibn Kathir's tafsir, Ibn Zayd recited verse 22. Lasta alayhim bi musaytir, he explained, you are not the one who can force them to have iman. Allah Ta'ala reminds his beloved, it is not your job, it is not your duty, it is not a failure of your blessed mission that these people are getting guidance. Guidance rests with me. And the clearest example of this was, of course, Abu Talib. In Surah 28, verse 56, in Surah 28, verse 56, it mentions there, the translation, it is true, you will not be able to guide everyone whom you love, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides those whom He wills, and He knows best those who receive guidance. Subhanallah. So three things are mentioned in this verse, Surah 28, verse 56. You cannot guide whom you love. Allah Ta'ala guides whom He wills. Thirdly, He knows best. This is the key point. وَهُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِالْمُحْتَدِينَ He knows best those who receive guidance. Meaning, this is why Allah Ta'ala has taken it upon Himself. You don't know what's in the hearts of people. And there's a report. And the report basically about Abu Talib, when he died, the Prophet came to him, when he's dying, sorry, in Sahih Bukhari, and he tried to make him recite the Shahada. But Abu Jahl jumped in, Fir'aun of this ummah. And he goes, are you going to leave the religion of your fathers for your nephew? And eventually he said, I would have said it to please you, but I don't want people to say that I've left the religion of my fathers. And he died without iman. And then the Prophet said, I will make dua for you until my Lord stops me. And Allah Ta'ala revealed verses saying, do not pray for them once you know that they've died without iman. Then he mentioned this verse. You cannot guide whom you love. Allah Ta'ala guides whom He wills. He knows best where to put the guidance. So Abu Talib, there was something in his heart which wasn't correct. That's what it boiled down to. We can't see it. Even though ulama said, what was it? Allah Ta'ala knows best. And yet, you got Abu Sufyan ibn Harb, the enemy chief. There was goodness in his heart. Allah Ta'ala gave him guidance. And there's another report on the same team. In Imam Ahmad's Musnad, authentic, the report says, Heraclius, he sent an Arab as an envoy with a letter to the Prophet. So imagine, you got the Roman Emperor, Heraclius, he sent an Arab with the letter to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Arab said, I went over and sat down before him, and I handed to him the letter which he placed on his lap, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He then asked me, where have you come from? So I said, I am a brother of Tanukh. I answered, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam then said, would you like to become Muslim, to embrace Islam, the easy religion of your father Ibrahim, alayhi salatu wasalam? I replied, I am the messenger of my people. I belong to the faith of my people. Hence, I cannot turn from it before I return to them. The Holy Prophet smiled, sallallahu alayhi wasalam, and recited verse 56 of Surah Qasas. You cannot guide those whom you love, but Allah Ta'ala guides those whom He wills, and He knows best those who receive guidance. Look how beautiful. He was an Arab. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam said, love the Arabs, for I am an Arab. So he asked him, he's from Tanukh. And then he invited him, imagine. He's become Muslim, the religion of your forefather Ibrahim. You're the son of Ibrahim. And he goes, oh no, I'm a messenger. I've got to go back first. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam smiled, meaning he appreciated his trustworthiness. But then he, instead of saying his own words, he recited the Quran. Because I would love for you to have guidance. But Allah Ta'ala knows best. So no, though it was revealed about Abu Talib, is universal. And that's what we say now when it comes to family members and friends. And you know that they're in a bad state. You make dua for them. If they die without iman, it's the same principle. There was no goodness in their hearts. If there was, Allah Ta'ala would have given them hidayat. And what greater comfort can you get when a person dies without belief? It's like you challenging the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why didn't he receive guidance? Well, what's he going to do with you? Your job is to pass the message on. Did you pass the message on? That's the question. Don't worry about that. And you realize you didn't even pass the message on. There's the problem. Subhanallah. So here, the Prophet is told in verse 108, I am not set over you to arrange your affairs. Meaning, my job is to pass the message on. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, I share Allah Ta'ala gifts. You are beautiful. I share Allah Ta'ala gifts. Meaning is not up to me. And there's a report about Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu anhu, that when Abu Talib died sadly without iman, the Prophet was grieving immensely. And then Bilal radiallahu anhu came and he said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if the matter was in your hands and you was given a choice between your uncle Abu Talib and myself, you would have given guidance to your uncle. And the Prophet smiled. So Bilal was comforting him in the, the box. He goes, that's why Allah Ta'ala hasn't put it in your hands. Because you would naturally want your family, your uncles, if you were given a choice, meaning that one of them hasn't got iman, which one? The Prophet didn't say, I would have chosen Abu Talib, but his smile shows he would have done that. So note how the companions will also comfort the Prophet. The last verse, verse 109. Follow you, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the inspiration sent unto you, and be patient and constant until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decides. For indeed, He is the best to decide. So finally, Allah the Almighty and Glorious now tells His beloved, receive the revelation, be patient and constant over what is decreed for you, and the decision is with me, and wait for that decision. Now, what is one of the most beautiful examples of this? If you go to the end of Surah Nahl, Surah 16, verse 126. So, Surah 16, verse 126 to the end, the translation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if you catch them out no worse than they caught you out. But if you show patience, that is indeed the best for those who show patience. And be patient, for your patience is but from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No grieve over them, and distress not yourself because of their secret plots. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with those who fear Him, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with those who are the good doers. So these are the three verses, how they relate. So the report is in Tirmidhi, Imam Ahmad's Musnad, Ibn Hibban, Sahih, Ibn Khuzaymah, Sahih, and others. Abdullah ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhu, he relates. In the Battle of Uhud, when the polytheists marched back, the dead bodies of 70 leading companions were found, radiallahu ta'ala. Also included there was Sayyidina Hamza, the revered uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Since the polytheists were particularly angry with him, therefore once he was killed by them, they took out their anger on his dead body. His nose, ears, and other parts of his body were ripped out, and the stomach was also split open. The ghastly sight shocked the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he said in anger to avenge Hamza that he would retaliate with 70 of the polytheists, similar to what they've done to Hamza, radiallahu. Immediately, Allah the Almighty revealed these verses. Surah 16, verse 1 to 6 to 8, when he says, you can't do this, but show patience, this is better. And your patience is from Allah. Don't grieve over them. Don't distress over their secret plots. Allah Ta'ala is with the God-fearing and those who do good. And immediately the Prophet stopped what he intended. So note, that's the reaction, normal reaction. Somebody's harmed you, you've been given the right to retaliate. But here Allah Ta'ala says in Surah Yunus, the last verse, follow the inspiration sent unto you and be patient and constant. Wasbir, be patient and constant till Allah Ta'ala decides, and He is the best to decide. Now note, Allah Ta'ala says in Surah Nahl, Makr, their secret plots. Allah Ta'ala goes, I know what's happening. I know their secret machinations. This is why in Surah Fil, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, A'udhu billahi min shaitan rajim, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Alam tara kayfa fa'ala rabbuka bi ashabil fil, Alam yaj'al qaydahum fi tadlil. Have you not seen how your Lord dealt with the companions of the elephant? Did He not foil their secret plan? Alam yaj'al qaydahum, the same word, qayd, secret plan. What was the secret plan? They were going to send to destroy the Kaaba. They had the elephants, they had the forces from Yemen. The Abyssinians were coming to destroy the Kaaba. That was the plan. Allah Ta'ala goes, no, it wasn't a plan. It was a secret plan. Meaning it was a hidden agenda. What was the hidden agenda? The economic route. He wanted to destroy that so that they would get the trade. So Allah Ta'ala says, I foiled their secret plan. Meaning that a lot of the times the kuffar, they say one thing, but that's not the real agenda. So Allah Ta'ala puts that to bed. He goes, I will deal with it. I will deal with their secret plotting. This is why in another part of the Quran, at the end of Surah Tariq, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّهُمْ يَكِيدُونَ كَيْدًا وَأَكِيدُ كَيْدًا فَمَحِّلِ الْكَافِرِينَ أَمْهِلْهُمْ رُوَيْدًا. They scheme a secret scheme. And I too scheme a secret scheme. Therefore, bear with the unbelievers and leave them alone for a while. So Allah Ta'ala is basically telling them, A lot of the times when they're doing their secret machinations, that's part of my plan. They've actually, you know, I'm the one doing it, but they think they're doing it. For example, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, when Allah Ta'ala inspired his blessed mother radiyallahu anha to put Musa alayhi salatu wasalam in the basket, where did the basket go? Pharaoh's palace. So somebody goes, what's going on there? So Pharaoh, we know this narrative. He got it, oh, this is the one that's going to kill me. Eventually the whole story plays out. That was part of the plan of Allah. They were planning to kill all the children. And Allah goes, this is part of my plan. Right? So this is how we look at things. Now in the world, the same thing. People say, what's happening in the Pentagon? Don't worry about it. Their plan becomes part of Allah's plan. That's why the Quran tells you these things, so that you feel comfort and ease. For example, Imam Mahdi, when he comes, what happens? The problems are sorted. Right? Allah Ta'ala sorts them. But note, if you look at the revelation, a lot of what they were doing is actually a cause of Imam Mahdi's emergence. And that's why the Quran is the one, the solution. This is why the hadith is in Wazir al-Mishkat. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he was with Jibreel and he told him the signs of the hour. And the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he said, O Jibreel, what's the way out? Because the Muslims are going to be in a very bad condition. And what did Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam say? Kitabullah. The book of Allah is the way out. What is piling dust up, mate? Well, there you go. The solution's there and you're not even looking at it. But it takes effort. It takes study. And this is why here, Allah Ta'ala, right, look how appropriate. Right at the end of the Holy Surah, can there be more appropriate advice to his beloved? He goes, receive the revelation. Be patient and constant. Then he says something which is so important for us. Wasbir hatta yahkum Allah. He says, "Wattabi ma yuha ilayka wasbir hatta yahkum Allah wa huwa khayrul hakimin." In the previous verse, sorry, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that he is with those who fear him and those who do good. The last verse of Surah An-Nahl. He is with those who fear him and those who are muhsin. Those who have taqwa, those who are muhsin. I am with those. That's the condition. You have to have those qualities to get the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And of course, that takes effort. So I'll recite the verses and we will conclude. Wa'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Qul ya ayyuhan nasu in kuntum fi shakkin min dini fala a'budu alladhina ta'buduna min dunillahi walakin a'budu Allah alladhi yatawaffakum wa umirtu an akuna min al-mu'minin wa an aqim wajhaka lid-dini hanifa wa la takunanna min al-mushrikin ولا تدع من دون الله ما لا ينفعك ولا يضرك فإن فعلت فإنك إذا من الظالمين وإن يمسسك الله بضر فلا كاشف له إلا هو وإن يردك بخير فلا راد لفضله يصيب به من يشاء من عباده وهو الغفور الرحيم قل يا أيها الناس قد جاءكم الحق من ربكم فمن اهتدى فإنما يهتدي لنفسه ومن ضل فإنما يضل عليها وما أنا عليكم بوكيل واتبع ما يوحى إليك واصبر حتى يحكم الله وهو خير الحاكمين. We pray to Almighty Allah subhanahu that He makes the Quran the Rabi of our hearts. And I pray to Almighty Allah subhanahu that He forgives me for any edits which I may have inadvertently uttered. Subhanahu wa bihamdihi subhanahu wa Allahumma bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayka wa billahi min shaitanir rajim. Subhanahu rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wa salamun ala al-mursalin walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Wal asr innal insana lafi khusr alladhina amanu wa amilus salihat wa wasabil haqq wa wasabil sabr. Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi.